Ladies and gentlemen, live from the West Coast, it's time for Ring Talk Live Worldwide, your inside look into combat sports. And now, the host of the longest-running fight show in radio and internet history.
I don't want to predict this fight, but, you know, I'm going to promise that I can give a good fight, you know, to make people happy, and I just do my best.
Pedro Fernandez.
If I can't teach you one way, I'll teach you another, but I'm going to get the job done.
Thomas y Caballeros, bienvenidos, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Ground Zero, the sports byline headquarters in the city by the bay, San Francisco, California, for another episode of Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Often imitated but never duplicated, 37-plus years now of knocking out all bums. My name is Pedro Fernandez. Welcome to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. For the next 2 hours, live on the Sports Byline Broadcast Network, iHeartRadio, Sirius XM, Satellite Radio Channel 211, and like a thousand other internet platforms live. Straight up, it'll be combat sports and boxing. Straight up, the boxing hour, of course, will encompass the Godfather, Larry Merchant. We are 6 days away from probably the fight of the year. Teofimo Lopez, of course, and Vasyl Lomachenko. Lomachenko, pound for pound, the king, the Muhammad Ali, the Gibraltar of boxing. I mean, let's be honest. He looks flawless, right? Well, we'll see what happens when he tangles with the undefeated Teofimo Lopez in just 6 days. Of course, Lopez coming in at 15 and zip. Basically, somewhat inexperienced, but he's got a big amateur background. He can fight. He's been in the gym a long time. And when you watch the skills that this kid displays, you say to yourself, this is not some punk that walked in off the street a couple years ago and learned how to box. No, no. This guy's been boxing a long time. It's in his blood. And at the end of the night, it's going to be a great fight. No doubt about that. Who's going to win? Some of us like Lopez. Why do we like Lopez? I think it's his personality and the fact that we think he's the next Hector Camacho, the next Macho Man. Anyway, bottom line is Lopez, Vasyl Lomachenko. It's a coin toss, although the oddsmakers think it's like a 3.5-to-1 fight favoring Vasyl Lomachenko. I don't think it's that deep, but the bottom line is Lomachenko deserves to be the favorite next week, no doubt about that. So we'll talk Lomachenko and Lopez. We'll talk the UFC. We'll also bring in Zach Attack Young in hour number two. Of course, my former broadcast partner from the No Holds Barred show. Straight up, you're tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide on Sports Byline, iHeartRadio, Sirius XM, Satellite Radio, and the American Forces Network.
I want to get into it, man, you know. Like a sex machine, man. Moving, doing it, you know. Can I count it off? 1, 2, 3, 4.
Get up. Sometimes we play the music of Motown on this show. And we've played Tammy Terrell songs from the past. Left Marvin Gaye and Tammy Terrell. One of the great duets of the 1960s. Of course, she died away from a tragic brain injury. The bottom line was, she was James Brown's punching bag. James Brown was not a nice dude, man. He just wasn't. I mean, all the more I read about James Brown, the less I even want to talk about him. But the bottom line is, the Godfather of Soul was the Godfather of Soul. His music was fine, but once he stepped away from the studio, he was a piece of work. Huge upset last night. Robin Krosnicki, 51-6, 19 wax. Stopped WB interim light heavyweight champion Dominic Bisaccia, 30-2, who was 30-1 coming in. 12 KOs, that was the third round Saturday night in Germany. 2,000 people were in attendance. Pretty good, you know, I mean, gotta give people some props. They're willing to go out there, but I'm willing to go 2,000 people like in a 25,000 seat stadium. Miller was like, they're 25 feet apart. I just don't want to be inhaling people's, you know, you hear what I'm saying? I mean, this is a virus time. Everybody's like not playing as cool as I think they should. I really don't. I'm an old man. I know that. 62 years old. But I'm healthy and I want to stay healthy. And I see people, you know, walking down the street and going places and trying to go into stores and trying to go into restaurants and this and that without masks on and this and that. And I went into a restaurant in South City the other day in South San Francisco, and there was the lady behind the counter didn't have a mask on. So I walked out. So, I mean, that was it. If you listen, they don't have a mask on, don't do any business with them. The bottom line is you want to be as healthy as you can. And if it means going to the extremes to stay healthy, guess what? It's worth it. You are tuning to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. You're inside looking to the world of boxing and MMA. Of course, some of the big fights coming up, the Lopez Lomachenko fight. What can I say? I mean, it's got everybody rocking and rolling. I mean, it is the fight, I think, of the year. I mean, I can't think of a fight that has more suspense, more intrigue, more, you know, I mean, you've got two guys that are basically near the top of their game. You got a younger guy and an older guy, but they're supposed to be like in the middle there. Of course, we're talking about a guy that had like 400 amateur fights with Vasily Lomachenko. And at some point in time, you do get burnt out. At some point in time, the training camps do take their toll. At some point in time, you're not what you once were. But is that time now for Vasily Lomachenko? What is he, 14-1, of course? And the way that he makes guys quit, he just makes them quit on the stool, man. I mean, they quit in the corner. I mean, I've had corners stop fights from when I've been involved, and they've had corners stop fights, but not the fighter quitting. You know what I'm saying? Not the fighter saying, no. The corner stopping the fight, yes, I understand that. But not the quit. No, each time the fighter said he doesn't want any more of Vasily Lomachenko. Of course, he and Lopez, a 3.5-1 underdog, the kid with his people from Honduras, Brooklyn, New York is, what he calls home. And I think it's going to be a dynamic match. There's absolutely no doubt about it. But you've got to watch this on ESPN. It's not going to be on pay-per-view or anything like that. And I think it's a pay-per-view quality fight. I think this is a tip of the hat to Bob Arum. Of course, the 86, 87, 88. How old is he now? 89 years old. Of course, the former U.S. attorney back in the Kennedy administration. He was a U.S. attorney. For Bobby Kennedy was the attorney general. He was one of his U.S. attorneys. Of course, Bobby Kennedy was John Kennedy's, his brother's, President Kennedy's, attorney general. But man, that's how far back Arum goes. And of course, Arum got that boxing bug the first time when he saw the Sonny Liston, Floyd Patterson. He saw the closed circuit receipts. He was doing something for the government, doing some accounting for them, and he saw all the money this fight was taking. And I said to himself, man, I need to get into this. And of course, then came Muhammad Ali's sort of departure from boxing, or when he had to stand up against the U.S. government regarding the draft situation in 1968. And of course, what did he do? He stood up and he stood by him. I mean, you got to give all these guys props. I give Jim Brown's not my favorite guy. He also whips on women a little bit. Of course, he's a former NFL football star, but I give him a lot of props. A guy by the name of Lew Alcindor. You know him now as Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. These were the guys that came together for Muhammad Ali, of course, when he was exiled from boxing. When you think about it, the reason why he was exiled because he didn't want to step forward and take the draft. He didn't want to step into the draft, of course. And that would have meant, you know, he would have got to go on parade and do parades around the world and wave to people. And then we're going to put him in battle, and he knew that. But he said, you're not going to use my name to lead other young men to slaughter. So I was down with that, and some people aren't down with that. Still to this day, I get heat. I believe it or not, I get heat on Muhammad Ali. I can't believe it. I get heat from some of my callers. Anyway, back to the weekend in boxing. The WBO 126-pound title was on the line Friday night, of course. Emmanuel Navarrete walked away with a close decision, a close unanimous decision. Now, of course, the kid, the once-beaten kid from Mexico, fantastic fighter at 122 pounds. I don't know what he'd been. What he will be at 126 or 130, but they say his future is 130 pounds or maybe 135 pounds. He's that lean. He's that skinny. I don't know. I thought he should have dominated things and wiped everybody, should have cleaned the slate at 122. He did not clean the slate at 122. He just sort of said, I'm a bad dude, moved on. That's not the way you do things in boxing. In other words, you know, I'm a 4-division champion. Yeah, but were you the best in any of those divisions? I mean, think about that. Yeah, I'm a 3-division champion. But were you the best in any of those divisions? I mean, if you got 3 belts, fine. But if you got a belt and there's a guy that's a whole lot superior to you holding another belt, that really doesn't make you the guy. It just doesn't. Anyway, Lomachenko Lopez, October 17th, undisputed lightweight title, 135 pounds, and that's going to go down. Of course, the guy that I think is the heir apparent to greatness as far as lightweights are concerned, the power punching, of course, Ryan Garcia, King Rye, call him what you want, 20-0, 17 knockouts, something like that. Of course, the kid from Central California, he can rock. He is the next Oscar De La Hoya, I think. I think that as far as his drawing abilities are concerned, I think he sold out the Anaheim State, that indoor Anaheim Stadium down there, of course, and he sold that out in like a couple hours. 12,000 seats, that's not too bad. And of course, then he was a step up to the Staples Arena, which had like 18 or 19,000 seats, and he was expected to sell that out in July, of course, before the pandemic hit. But it looks like Mr. King Rye is going to take on Luke Campbell. Luke Campbell could fight. Luke Campbell went 12 rounds with Vasily Lomachenko, the aforementioned world lightweight champion, so I guess that is the precursor to the, whoever wins that fight probably is going to fight the winner of the Lopez-Lomachenko fight. Now, looking at the boxing calendar, I've got problems with this, folks. I've got severe problems with this. I'm talking about Halloween. I mean, Halloween's not going to be the Halloween that we thought it would be before. You know, we're not going to be taking things out, do all the trick-or-treat and that kind of stuff. I don't think you're going to be knocking. You'll be wearing masks, but I don't know if you want to be dealing with people at their door. Anyway, bottom line is October 31st, three fight cards on the bill. And I can go with all three fight cards, but not at the same time. Anyway, Showtime pay-per-view is going to go, of course, Halloween with Gervonta Davis, the undefeated tank. What's he like, 23-0, 25-0, 23 knockouts, somewhere around there. Of course, Leo Santa Cruz, the once-beaten 130-pound champion, is going to fight at 130 pounds for the 130 and 135-pound championships. Of course, Santa Cruz, his big thing is, and he's been saying it all in all on interviews, was that he can get Davis into the fourth or fifth round. He thinks he can get Davis tired and work on him at that point. Good luck with that. Of course, I've always thought Davis was fat at 135 pounds. I thought he was one of those guys that never really worked down to 135. What he would do is he would get himself down to like 145 pounds and sit in a sauna and lose 10 pounds. He just looked fat. He looked chubby, you know, like Adrian Broner, and not committed. Anyway, if he's committed and comes in 130 pounds, a solid 130, he rolls over Leo Santa Cruz. Of course, this is Showtime pay-per-view. And, of course, Al Haymon going with Showtime pay-per-view. Now, he made some money with the Charlos a few weeks ago. Of course, the Charlos, I think, did 100,000 homes. If you do 100,000 homes at $80 a pop, that's good money because it's $4 million for the promotion. And let's be honest, none of those guys on that fight card were worth $4 million. I mean, there wasn't $4 million in talent pay on that card, although Al Haymon does pay his guys good. Anyway, both the Charlo brothers were winners, although the one that Gerson Ravello fight was a bit shaky at the end of it anyway. Ravello knocked down twice by the WBC now and IBF 154-pound champion, Jermall Charlo, knocked down twice, and then, you know, sort of took that little acting job in the last round, a little jab to the stomach, this and that. I thought it was an acting job. Somebody said to me it wasn't, but the bottom line was, I think he deserves the Academy Award for 2020. Anyway, Showtime pay-per-view, October 31st. Then we've got the same day. One of the best fighters in the world, there's absolutely no doubt about it. I'd love to go to Japan and watch him fight because I like to see how the Japanese fans react to him, because the Japanese fans are some weird, weird, weird boxing fans. I mean, they sit there on their ass and they don't say anything. They don't move. They don't clap. It's like they're not even there in the arena. You know these silent boxing arenas you have now with no fighters in the arena and no fans in the arena. That's the way Japanese boxing is. I've been over to Korakuen Hall. Nobody makes a sound. You can hear somebody farting in the first row if you're sitting in the cheap seats. I kid you not. Anyway, Nonoa Inoue fighting on ESPN October 31st, taking on Jason Maloney. Maloney's a good fighter. It's for the WBA and IBF 118-pound belts. Both these guys can rock. I think Maloney might have lost him prior. I'm not sure, but my mind sort of says that. Anyway, Inoue and Maloney's going to rock. That's October 31st on ESPN. Wait, they're not done. Then on the 31st, the Zone's going to come back. Barry Hearn and those guys from across the pond with the heavyweight encounter. Of course, this probably is not going to last the distance, but Oleg Usyk, the undefeated former cruiserweight champion, the guy that I've got a lot of praise, I have a lot of praise for. The guy looks like Charles Manson. I mean, he's got that Manson look. He looks like a mass killer. I kid you not. Anyway, Oleg Usyk, undefeated as a cruiserweight, now fighting at heavyweight. Can he fight at heavyweight? That's the big question, you know, because there's a big step. From 200 pounds to fighting guys that are 240, 250, 45 pounds, there's a big, big step there. He's got boxing skills. He's got decent power, but can he handle a Derek Chisora? I think a Derek Chisora he can, because of the fact that Chisora's been like knocked out by a whole lot of people. If I'm not sure, I think Scott Cuddy might hold a knockout over Derek Chisora. But the bottom line is, Chisora's exciting. He will come to fight. But October 31st, man, think about that. Three different fights on Halloween. Good God. There were no fights on last night. Thanks a lot, promoters, huh? Promoters aren't getting it, folks. I miss HBO boxing. Don't you? You're tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide.
You sure looking good.
I'm married.
Is she here with you?
No, she's not here. She's home with the children, but I'm married.
Oh, well, can't win them all. Win some and lose some. You know, you look a lot like Killer. You got that big husky. The Killer used to be a fighter, too. Yeah, they called him Sweet Chariot. Because he was always swinging low. You haven't got a scar on you. Just let me look. Just stand. Let me. I talk now. Look at that man there. Ain't got a scar. You look better than you do on the television. You look better than that. How'd you like to lose 5 pounds real fast?
We'll lose 5 pounds the night we get Joe Frazier.
At least five pounds. Now, let me tell you, I wanted to mention that to you. Come over here. I don't want them near. This is between me and you. You know, now I know you got to fight the man. You all got to fight and drag off them Charlies. Yes, but don't hurt him. Don't hurt him because he's one of us. You gotta fight him. People expecting a fight. So go on and fight him a few rounds, and then later on just do what you gotta do. But don't hurt him, because he's one of us. Maybe I'll go light on you too. Yes, I wanted to meet you a long time. What are they looking at? I'm talking to you and they're looking at me. That guy there, he tried to come up on the stage a couple weeks ago and manhandle me. I said, man, are you crazy? You won't try nothing now. I got the champ with me. That's right. Here's the killer.
I thought I could talk, but I met my match.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
Joe's gonna come out smoking, and I ain't gonna be joking. I'll be pecking and a-poking, pouring water on his smoking. Then this might shock and amaze you, but I will destroy Joe Frazier.
Don't tell me why the Twitch audio's not working. Evidently, the video's working, the audio's not working, the tune-in audio's working, all the other audio channels are working, but the Twitch audio is not working, so I don't know why. Anyway, bottom line is Terrence Crawford, of course, the pride of Omaha, Nebraska. Omaha, as one stewardess told me one time, when she tried to pawn a free ticket off to Omaha, Nebraska. I was stuck in Salt Lake City, and she said like this to me. She goes, you know, you've got a direct flight to Las Vegas right now. I said, I want to get on that flight. She goes, but if you'd be willing to take another flight, we'd give you a free trip to Omaha. Omaha. I said, well, what are you talking about? Bottom line is I didn't take a free trip. Terrence Crawford, of course, undefeated lad. What is he now? 36 and zip, 27 KOs. Going to go against Kell Brook. Wow. Kell Brook, of course, the kid from England, the UK, a fantastic fighter at one point in time. He's 39-2. But one of those losses, of course, was to Gennady Golovkin, in which he moved up 13 pounds, which was a noble act, no doubt about that. But he got his face broken for it. I mean, in two spots. That's why they have weight classes for the most part. And that's why guys can't fight out of their weight divisions for the most part. Because as they get bigger, they hit harder. As they get smaller, they get faster. Bottom line is, Kell Brook tangled with Gennady Golovkin, probably at Golovkin's peak or pretty close to his peak. And he got like lit up like the White House Christmas tree. So he's damaged goods. They're going to hook it up. Looks like at that bubble, the MGM bubble in Las Vegas on November the 14th, 2020, Kell Brook, as I said, 39-2, but damaged goods. Terrence Crawford, is Terrence Crawford's peak, has it sort of like done his thing? I mean, think about that. People say to me, Pedro, how can you say that, man? The guy's on top of his game, but is he really? He's 33 years old. He's been a champion at 135 pounds for the WBO, 140 pound champion of the WBO, now the 147 pound champion of the WBO, and I think that's all fine and dandy, but you know, he's got guys he can fight out there and really make some noise with. I mean, he should be really clamoring for the Errol Spence winner. I mean, Errol Spence and Danny Garcia, of course, going to hook it up now December the 5th at the Dallas Cowboys. He's going to throw this fight outdoors or in the arena. So more power to him. They're going to have fans there. I don't know about the fans, though. I'm sort of scared about the fans. Is anybody with me on that? Shoot me a text if you think I'm right or I'm wrong on that one, as far as like getting people together in crowds right now. I mean, can't we just like wait a few more months to try to wait this thing out and try to get rid of it? Anyway, the text line, 415-275-1613. That's 415-275-1613. Some of the other big fights coming up, of course, in 2020 are not yet on the schedule. I'm talking about Deontay Wilder, of course, and Tyson Fury going a third time because Wilder wants to invoke that third fight clause. And at the end of the day, I guess he has the option to do so. But if he doesn't, If he doesn't, it would put forth the fight between Anthony Joshua, of course, and Tyson Fury. Of course, that's the fight that most people want to see as far as the UK and the world abroad. Of course, undefeated Tyson Fury now, the world linear champion. He's beaten cocaine. He's beaten depression. He's beaten suicidal tendencies, of course. And he's beaten Wilder not once, but twice. And the second time, of course, he licked him like a stamp. The first time, I thought he licked him like a stamp. With the exception of those two knockdowns in the first fight, I mean, he was owned. And then, of course, he got owned in the rematch. So with Wilder winning two rounds out of 19 rounds against Tyson Fury, why should they have a third fight? Unless Deontay Wilder is looking to cash out. And when I say cash out, I mean cash out. In other words, he realizes this is the end of the road for him. There's no sense of waiting around. I don't even want my step-aside money. I can get $3 to $5 million of step-aside. No, maybe I can get 10 or 15 to fight Tyson Fury again. I'm going to do it again. I'm going to cash out. It's time for Deontay Wilder to move on. Speaking of Wilder, of course, he has left left his trainer at the curb. I'm talking about Mark Breland. He tried to blame Mark Breland for his inadequacies, and you can't really do that because of the fact that, you know, Deontay Wilder's not a guy you can teach. I've watched it. He runs things. In other words, although you're my trainer, but I'm doing it my way. That's the way Deontay Wilder did it. And of course, for Deontay Wilder, it didn't work out well, not once, but twice against Tyson Fury. The third time, we're talking ditto. I mean, how can you expect the third fight to be any different than the first two? You can't. You really can't. So at the end of the day, Tyson Fury still is the world linear champion. Anthony Joshua, of course, holds a few belts. He's a guy from the UK as well, 2012 Olympic gold medals. A guy that was really, I was so high on him, I thought he really had all the skills, man, until he got beat up by Andy Ruiz, or Andy Ruiz. Of course, they're talking about Andy Ruiz. Of course, Andy Ruiz now back in the Canelo camp. That's right, Canelo Alvarez, of course, he world 168-pound champion, the pound-for-pound king, call him what you want. He's a king of pay-per-view, of course, signed that contract with DAZN for, like, what, $350 million, expects $35 million per fight, and now he's not going to get the $35 million because DAZN's saying they don't have the money, they don't have the live audience, etc. Of course, they're in arbitration right now. People tell me that it all boils down to Triple G not wanting to fight Golovkin again. That's what this is all about, not wanting to fight Golovkin again, and I don't get this. I really don't. I mean, as far as Gennady Golovkin is concerned, he's coming way, 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 way down after the break. I mean, he is. He's coming way down. So as far as his skill level is concerned. So right now would be a perfect time to take on Golovkin. You wipe him out, remove him from your ledger, maybe stop him in the mid to late rounds, and you make a statement. But he doesn't want to do that. I think they were even willing to give him the big bucks to fight Golovkin one more time. They do not want to give him $35 million to fight Scott Cuddy. They don't want to give him $35 million to fight me. They just don't want to do that, okay? They want him to fight somebody noble. Of course, the WBC has propped up their number one contender. And, you know, although I'm sure that the Canelo approved that number one contender before it was even put up, he doesn't want to go there. I mean, he doesn't. To take that fight against a nobody would be nothing. At this point in time, if you're the pound-for-pound king, you've got to do pound-for-pound things. You just do. And right now, Canelo Alvarez not doing that, sitting on his ass. He's been off this entire year. I mean, think about this. If you're, remember Muhammad Ali was off 2.5 years? Well, this is going to be equivalent to half of that almost. Canelo Alvarez being off a year because he last November. Okay, so we're looking at maybe another year, maybe 5 or 6 months. Maybe he won't fight till the end of 2021. If he doesn't fight till the end of 2021, that's a 2-year layoff. What am I trying to tell you? Stick a fork in him. He's not going to be able to make that 10-fight contract if he doesn't stay in his prime. I mean, because eventually he's going to get knocked off. There's no doubt about it. Boxing is for the young guys. Canelo, 32 years old, baby. You are tuned to Ring Talk live worldwide on Sports Byline, iHeartRadio, Sirius XM, Satellite Radio, the American Forces Network, and 1,000 other internet platforms. Bottom line is, we also do our podcast on iTunes and, of course, Anchor.com, the Ring Talk Live Worldwide channel at Anchor.com. Coming up after the break, we'll spend some time with the retired HBO godfather, the legend, the icon, Larry Merchant, on Ring Talk Live Worldwide.
One can have a dream, baby.
Two can make a dream so real.
One can talk about being in love.
You can say how it feels.
Well, one can wish upon a star.
Two can make a wish come true, yeah.
One can stand alone in the dark,
two, yeah. Two can make the light shine through. It takes two, baby. It takes two, baby. Me and you.
Wow!
I feel good.
Scott Cuddy flipping off the computer in the other room. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. You're inside looking at the world of boxing and MMA. Let's take it to the City of Angels, Los Angeles, to bring in, of course, the Godfather, the HBO Godfather. I'm talking about Mr. Larry Merchant. Larry, how are you this morning, sir?
I'm doing good, and it's a good morning.
Okay. I got to ask you, first of all, we're going to go off subject here, but President Trump brought a bunch of black people and brown people, and I'm a black, brown person. I've got 23% black, so I guess I'm black to an extent. And he brought them to the White House yesterday to talk about what he's done for black people and brown people. I was appalled until I found out those people were paid to be there.
Why am I not shocked?
I was stunned. I was like, I wanted to see these people. Anyway, go on.
Well, there was another event at the White House, which I read. They paid people to show up because people didn't want to show up, whether it was because of Trump or because of the pandemic. So there you go. That's what he and we have been reduced to.
I don't want to say that everybody has a price, but you couldn't get, I mean, here's what's up. You could probably get me to go to the White House, but not during a pandemic situation, and I don't think I'd want to go there as a racial pawn either.
Well, I guess some people need the money just as much as some people need the show.
Yeah, they're calling it Blexit. I guess evidently it's a moniker of black people leaving the Democratic Party. That's a good one. Anyway, bottom line is, I thought that was pretty classic. Speaking of classic, how do you go about going back in public without a negative test? I mean, they keep asking when's the last time you took a negative test? And that's the question you won't answer, Godfather. And that to me is quite perplexing. Has that perplexed you in the same manner?
It perplexes me a bit, but it's not out of character, whatever character he has. He makes his own rules, and his followers love that, and we shall see.
Okay, now we are...
There was,
go on.
Yeah, well, there was a Trump parade of cars coming down Santa Monica Boulevard yesterday, and my feeling was it just reminded everybody they had to get out and vote.
Santa Monica. I'm sorry, but we actually have seen like little mini Trump parades in San Francisco. But here's what's up. What they do is they drive through the Mission, and they drive through like three or four cars with these Trump cars, and they drive through at extremely fast speed. Like they've got a president in the car, and he's going to get shot from a building or something like that. So they're traveling through the districts at the high speed, and they're yelling Trump, Trump, Trump. But they're not slowing down because I think they slow down, they get egged. Anyway, let's change subjects. Oh, bottom line is, you know, you and I have predicted things over the years, 35 years. We've predicting fights. I think we even went back and forth on a couple of elections here and there. I'm willing to go out on a limb. I don't think it'll be going on a limb. The odds say I'm right. But I think that Joe Biden and Kamala Harris are going to clean up here.
Well, as I've said before, that's what my head tells me, but my gut is nervous as hell.
Yeah, I just don't, you know what, Godfather, said we don't have the hate factor in this one. What I'm trying to tell you is, I mean, he tried to turn Kamala Harris, and I met Kamala Harris in 1993 when she was a San Francisco district attorney. She opposed the death penalty in a cop case, and of course, me being a former policeman, I was like, blown away by it. But I went to a meeting with her, I met her, she explained the statistics to me regarding the capital punishment and the death penalty, and she changed my mind. So from that day on, I looked at this woman, I said to myself, you know, she has it per se. But he called her a monster. The president called her a monster, and I don't...
And a communist.
I don't care if the 35% of the country believes in that kind of stuff or not, but that's just wrong. I mean, here's the first off white woman running on a vice presidential ticket for a major party, and she's being called a monster. And you know, the monster has racial overtones. This is what this is all about. He's calling, these are not bell whistles anymore. It's like I'm telling you out front.
Yep, he's a desperate, caged guy, and all the worst keeps coming out of him. And the deeper he's a guy who, as they say, walks around with a shovel, meaning he's digging his own grave here.
You know, I'll never forget when Mark Geddes was his attorney, my buddy. Of course, he died in a helicopter crash that Trump was supposed to be on when they flew from Trump Tower to Atlantic City, and the helicopter went down. That's the reason why I've never been on a helicopter since. Anyway, Mark told me, my boss is not what you think. And I said, what do you mean? He goes, he's an, and I don't use that word. Yeah, okay, he's a, I mean, that's what Mark Geddes told me, and that was in like in 1991.
Well, I met him several times, and you know, he maneuvered among ordinary people as though he with an aura of superiority, and you can't touch me, and because he's home. What do you call that when you're germophobic?
Well, he was.
And that's who he is, and that's who our president is.
I remember when I was in Don King's office, and he was coming downstairs, so he's using Don King's phone. Back in the days when it was like $5 a minute to call from the West Coast to East Coast, or the East Coast to the West Coast, and he came downstairs, and Don worked him over for 139 hotel room nights and $200,000 for a Sugar Ray Robinson party, and all he was coming downstairs for was for a photo op. So Don King worked him over for, like, you know, all this kind of stuff. So there was no art of the deal here. There was no negotiations per se. I just watched King run rampant over him, and now I realize why King is such an ally, is that King owned him. I mean, there was never any negotiations. King went in there, and Donald Trump said okay.
Well, that was a time when Trump thought he was going to use King to achieve his goal of turning Atlantic City into Las Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
And went broke on a couple of his big hotels and declared bankruptcy. But he was in another world that he didn't know, and King was the sort of character who didn't care about whatever status this guy had, and we've seen how that story ended. You know, I've said that if Trump was born black and poor, he would have turned out to be King, and if King was born white and rich, he'd have turned out to be Trump.
Let's talk boxing. Let's switch gears here, of course. Kell Brook, of course, the British lad, former champion, 147 pounds, 39-2, lost that two times for us by KO, both through Errol Spence and Gennady Golovkin. The Golovkin fight, I cautioned against it, and you told me when you're a professional, you got to go where the money's at, and he went for it, and he got the big money, but he got his face broken, got a couple facial bones broken. Now, of course, he's going to come back and take on Terrence Crawford, the undefeated lad, 36-0. Crawford's 33 years old. Isn't it time for Crawford, like, to step up to the top of the mantle and make some type of real statement? I mean, it's just sort of like a
flash. Yes.
Yeah, go on.
Yes, and yes again. But I don't know who that, you know, is it Spence? That's the fight everybody wanted a little while ago. But I'm not sure that this, you know, Spence has a fight coming up, and
Danny Garcia.
Yeah, with Danny Garcia, and Garcia is a pretty good opponent. And if he can revert to his form before the car accident he got into, then maybe they can make that fight. But again, it's two different promoters, and they both have their own ideas about how to make the most money, and so far, it's been to avoid each other.
Al Heyman pulled a smart one, I guess, in his mind. He pulled the Gervonta Davis Day fight from the October 24th on pay-per-view when it was all by itself to October 31st, where there are three other fight cards on television that day. What is he trying? I don't get that. What's a marketing ploy there?
You know what? It's above my pay grade. I don't know. I'm just interested in the fights, and it's unfortunate that when you got so many promoters, we see what happens when they get a fighter who is a star, and it becomes their star, and they have to follow it and make the most money with it. Back in the day, you know, a loss didn't mean that much, but now promoters, you know, feel that they've got to have a winning fighter who never loses, except we lose.
Good point.
And Crawford, you know, I mean, Crawford has practically become irrelevant in terms of popularity. There's just never been able to move him in, to get him as a fan favorite. I've got to see this guy fight.
Good point. And he's got some talent. Yeah. And at the end of the day, though, boxing looks like it's going in a positive direction. At least next week's fight's going to be good. Of course, we'll talk about Teofimo Lopez undefeated and once beaten Vasyl Lomachenko. Godfather, this is worth waiting for.
Well, it is in a way, but I'm a little suspicious of why they would put in a kid with just 15 professional fights against Lomachenko. Now, if you lose to Lomachenko, it's not necessarily a terrible thing on your record. But, you know, I'm just wondering how a guy with 15 fights is going to be able to deal with Lomachenko.
He not only is he going to deal with him, the fight's going to be competitive.
Okay. I'm just wondering. I have no clue.
I think they're both special talents. I think we get an opportunity to watch two special guys. Unfortunately, they've got to meet. I mean, there's got to be something at 135. Of course, now.
Okay. And my feeling again in looking at through his historical perspective, maybe we've got another Puerto Rican star. We've had Puerto Rican stars over the last 30, 40 years, and maybe this is the next one.
Okay. Ryan Garcia, of course, is going to fight Luke Campbell. That's going to be a pretty good fight. So 135 pounds is happening, Godfather, and the only one I'm not hearing a whole lot about is Derek Haney, except the last time I saw, he was given a belt. Ryan Garcia gave him the Internet Championship. That's the last time I heard of Derek Haney.
Well, I like Ryan Garcia a lot.
Good, talented guy. Got the girls behind him. Of course, he can draw 2 million people as far as the Instagram fans are concerned. Godfather, I thank you for your time. You have a good weekend. Say hello to God. Mama, give her a kiss for me. I'm having problems this morning with my addiction, Godfather. Can you tell?
No.
You're being too kind. I love you. We'll talk soon.
You got it.
The great Larry Merchant, folks, on Ring Talk Live Worldwide. What did you do to me?
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
Jeff Tamalier on lead guitar for the Tower of Power circa 1993. Jeff's still rocking and rolling. Jefferson Starship, man, Jeff's been around. I miss him. Haven't seen him in under a year. You know, I miss all my performing buddies. I mean, really do, because they would come through town, you know, like once or twice a year through San Francisco, right? You know, the big bands, right? And they're not, so it's sort of weird. And I'll tell you, one guy who's a lead singer for a major band, he said he was going crazy at home, so he went to work for Amazon. He's running, jumping off an Amazon truck, and people are noticing him. Hey, aren't you so-and-so? And he's going, yeah, but you know, I mean, that's what you gotta do when you gotta do, right? You gotta support the family, gotta take care of business. But yeah, major rock stars working for Amazon and things like that, just getting it done. I think it's sort of cool in this pandemic situation, the fact that, you know, we can't perform, like, performers can't perform like they want to as far as live venues are concerned. Of course, boxing matches are gonna go back to live venues, but musical concerts, you just don't see that. I'm not seeing that yet. I mean, people wanting to pack 2,000 people into a boxing arena in different countries. And of course, December 5th, Jerry Jones is going to do it at the Texas Stadium down there for the Danny Garcia Earl Spence fight at 147 pounds. So I wish him the very best of luck on that. But I just don't know if gathering together is worth the risk. I mean, because you know, if you get sick, you get sick, and that's it. You scar your lungs up, or if something happens to you, or maybe you get lucky and you get some super drug. You know, it's a one in a million drug, and you're cured. That's not going to happen to you. If it happened to somebody else, and I sort of doubt it did, it's not going to happen to you. So what I'm trying to tell you is, keep your hands up, keep your chin down, and keep your mask on. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Check it. You're inside looking to the world of boxing and MMA. 35, make that 36. No, 37 plus years now. I'm knocking out all bums. Hour number two still to come. You can be listening to the show live, of course, on Sirius XM Satellite Radio Channel 211 or iHeartRadio or sportsbyline.com, of course, each and every Sunday at 11 a.m. Pacific time. Saturday show, 11 a.m. Pacific time as well. Hour number two of Ring Talk Live Worldwide comes after the news. Hour number two will focus on a little boxing and some MMA as I bring in Zach Attack Young. So stay tuned for hour number two of Ring Talk Live Worldwide coming up on Sports Byline, iHeartRadio, and Sirius XM Satellite Radio. I love you so-